Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Holy Cross starts in-person instruction by Ruth Campbell. 35 students strong this year, Holy Cross Catholic High School recently started in-person instruction. Head of school Carolyn Gonzalez said the campus, located at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church, is following all the safety guidelines. Classes are limited in size. Students are kept 6 feet apart from each other and 6 feet away from their teachers, and they eat outside. New this year are music electives for juniors and seniors. Elena Jimenez, a 14-year-old freshman, is in her first year at Holy Cross. At my old school, I felt like I wasn't challenged enough, and I just didn't really like how the teachers taught, so I kind of left everything from my old school and came here, she said. She said the experience has been fun so far. We've done a lot of projects, and it's a lot different than what I used to do at my old school, so I'm enjoying it so far, Jimenez added. There is a theology class, so she said she gets to learn more about her faith. Another aspect that's different is meeting new peers. A lot of them know each other because they went to school together, and so it was a first for me because I had to meet new people. I had been going to the same school for a long time, so I didn't have to meet new people. So it's definitely helping me refresh my social skills, Jimenez said. Gonzalez said choir, ensemble, and guitar have been added this year as electives. Carla Hernandez is the music teacher, and it is her first year teaching as well. She said she is getting good participation from the students. A lot of them have never had a proper choir class before, Hernandez said. School started August 12th. I think it's going to be a little challenging. It's not something that they're used to, but they're doing good. They've learned one song so far in choir. Today we are bringing our instruments and we're learning some new chords, so I'm hoping by mid-September we'll all be playing and singing together, she said. Gonzalez said the students are working on an alma mater for the school. We have a big project this semester to write an alma mater for the school. Next year, our juniors will be seniors, and I want something that they can have with them when they graduate. The ensemble will be making the accompaniment, and the choir will be making the melody and the lyrics. They're really excited about it, Hernandez said. Lauren Reeves co-teaches World History and English 2 with Ryan Griffin. When she worked at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, they had classes similar to this. But really, it came about from scheduling. Mr. Griffin and I approached each other at the end of last year, and we really were just like, there are a lot of things we saw as far as TEKS and standards that we could support each other and really help and make learning become a lot more alive and applicable with both courses coming together, Reeves said. The class of sophomores was working on a project rollout regarding media, bias in the news, trolling, what happens when people don't research what's happening, and tying that back to ancient civilizations. She added that they want the students to read the stories and not just the headlines. 16-year-old sophomore Diego Dauphin said this is his second year at Holy Cross. It's different, especially from the norm, because there are a lot of safety protocols being put in place, and I know it's for health, but sometimes it does get a little hard to follow all those rules, Dauphin said. He said he prefers in-person instruction to virtual. I like interacting with people physically, and of course with all these safety protocols, it's made it harder, but it's still better than being virtual, I feel, he said. Gonzalez said they have had interest from parents in Holy Cross this year. I think everybody's just trying to figure out how to make in-person learning work during COVID. We really had to watch our sophomore numbers, she added. Students were a little anxious at first about going back to school and had questions like, Why do we have to wear a mask all day, stay 6 feet apart, and eat outside? Gonzalez said they have done a lot of culture building to inform students about why things are being done that way. I think once we allow them to know the why, they calm down, and then they got to see that it was okay. We could still have fun. We could still have school. We just had to change it a little. So we don't call this our new normal. This is just normal. This is normal for us now, she added. Plans are for the high school to have its own building on land at Holiday Hill Road in Midland. Fasken Oil and Ranch Limited has donated about 55 acres of land on Holiday Hill Road in Midland to the nonprofit Permian Basin Catholic High School. The campus will sit on about 30 acres, a previous article from the Odessa American stated. Gonzalez said they are still working on this, but things have moved more slowly than expected because of the pandemic and the economic decline. Discover Odessa wins big at TACVB Idea Fair. The Texas Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus, TACVB, is pleased to announce Discover Odessa placed in three People's Choice Idea Fair Awards in the $1 million to $3 million budget category. Discover Odessa won People's Choice Idea Fair Awards in the local awareness, website, and video categories. The awards were presented during TACVB's virtual annual conference August 12th. Discover Odessa received third place in local awareness, highlighting the new Odessa-friendly program that has been offered for local Odessans since January 2020. A total of 45 individuals have completed the program to date. The Discover Odessa team added value to our department with several new changes. We are honored to have received this kind of recognition from across the state, Monica Chauner, director of Discover Odessa, said. In October 2019, Discover Odessa launched a new website along with their name change and new branding efforts. A local marketing company, CVA, designed the site. Lastly, in September, Discover Odessa launched a new video to help attract visitors to the community by promoting local shopping, dining, and attractions. We received third place in this category. We are thrilled to have placed in all three categories that we entered for the TACVB Idea Fair. This shows our hard work is paying off with recognition from our peers from around the state of Texas. We're competing against much larger cities, and we are proud of the results, Mary Raines, marketing and communications specialist at Discover Odessa, said. We had a record 119 entries this year, Jody Willard, TACVB Idea Fair chairman, said. The winners encountered strong competition, and these awards are well deserved. Founded in 1972, the Texas Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus, TACVB, provides professional development and training opportunities that give destination marketing organization professionals a competitive edge in destination marketing. For more information, visit discoverodessa.org. Teen Leadership Council application deadline. Crisis Center of West Texas Teen Leadership Council welcomes students entering grades 9 through 11 to apply for the 2020-21 school year. The application deadline is Monday. The council, made up of high school students from across the Permian Basin, promotes leadership, encourages advocacy for consent and healthy relationships, and provides students with a path to give back while helping end domestic and sexual violence in their community. The TLC, Texas Teen Leadership Council, meets twice a month at times set by members. Council members will receive education and training in violence prevention in order to complete an individual or team project focused on prevention education in the community. TLC members will receive volunteer hours, including Texas Scholar Hours and AVID Community Service Hours for their participation. To be eligible, high school students in the Permian Basin entering grades 9 through 11 in fall 2020. Meetings are twice a month through the 2020-21 school year. Missing more than two meetings will result in removal from the council. For an application, visit bit.ly/TLC2020APP. For more information, email Damariz Medina at damariz@ccwtx.org. Obituaries and death notices for Friday, August 28th. Joyce Joan Griggs. Joyce Joan Griggs, 88, passed away at home August 26th in Kerrville. She was born November 25th, 1931, in Coleman to Carl Ray and Jesse Cook. She married her husband in 1950, and he preceded her in death, Richard Griggs. Joan is survived by her children, Richard and Karen Griggs, Gerald and Chris Griggs, Robert Griggs, and Brenda Griggs. 8 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, sisters-in-law Joyce McLemore and Connie Griggs. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, August 28th at Grimes Funeral Chapels. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, August 31st at Sunset Cemetery in Odessa. Condolences may be sent to www.grimesfuneralchapels.com. Annie Mae Hubnick. Annie Mae Hubnick, 93, of Odessa, died Tuesday, August 25th at her home. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, August 29th at Saints Cyril and Methodius Catholic Church in Marek, with Reverend Ranjan Cletus officiating. Rosary will be recited at 10 a.m. prior to the service at the church. Burial will follow the Mass at Saints Cyril and Methodius Cemetery. Mrs. Hubnick was born June 10, 1927, in Milam County to Anton and Julia Bros Mikula. She married Charlie Hubnick, and he preceded her in death in 2005. She is survived by her sons, Ray Hubnick of Bedford, Fred Hubnick and wife Judy of Caldwell, Billy Hubnick of Odessa, daughters Anna Farrell and husband Arthur of Odessa, Rennie Hubnick of Fort Worth, Kathy Hubnick of Granbury, 9 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. Marek Burns Laywell Funeral Home of Cameron is in charge of arrangements. Bertha Moreno Ruiz. Bertha Moreno Ruiz, born October 20th, 1938, passed away at her home August 20th. She is preceded in death by her husband, Thomas Cano Ruiz, and a son, Joe Arthur Ruiz. She is survived by her daughter, Sandra Ann Pineda, and husband, Johnny Robert Pineda, a grandson, a granddaughter, and 4 great-grandchildren. Death notices. Eloise Edie Vines White. Edie Vines White, 81, of Midland, died Thursday, August 20th. A celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. August 29th at the Living Way Four Square Church. arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Cipriano Ramirez. Cipriano Ramirez, 75, died Wednesday, August 26th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 23rd, 2020. Other voices. Guest view. Study seeks to create outer loop around Odessa, Midland, by Jack Ladd. Robert Louis Stevenson once wisely said, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seed you plant." I try to reflect on this quote every day because sometimes thinking about the end goal is simply too overwhelming. It seems too unattainable. Sometimes the only way to tackle a big project, one that may seem impossible, is to take it one step at a time, to break it down into bite-sized chunks. Today, I write to you to celebrate a small step taken by the communities of Midland and Odessa to someday reap the harvest of not two cities working separately, but one community unified with purpose. I recently had the honor of being appointed by my fellow councilmen and women to sit on the Metropolitan Planning Organization, MPO, Policy Board. For those unfamiliar with what the MPO does, in short, it is a board made up of one elected official from the two county commissioner courts, Midland and Ector, and the two city councils, Midland and Odessa, tasked with the purpose of envisioning, prioritizing, and commissioning studies for future road development between the two communities. It was not long after being asked to serve on the MPO that I was approached by the then newly elected mayor of Midland, Patrick Payton, about his vision for a massive outer loop around both cities, connecting both communities and driving future development. There were several hurdles before an endeavor like this could take place. As I began to pursue the fulfillment of the mayor's vision, I went about learning the history of our past successes in completing major road projects. Very quickly, a common thread emerged. We only succeeded when we approached the powers that be, not as Midland or Odessa, but as a unified Permian Basin. Recently, meetings have been taking place between the stakeholders on the MPO from both communities to work on a strategy of cohesion and to provide a unified front to TxDOT for more road funding in the Permian Basin. I am proud to tell you that today that strategy has taken its first baby steps. Thanks to the leadership of Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes, Odessa City Councilman Tom Sprawls, and Midland County Commissioner Robin Donnelly, our board is proud to announce that we have approved a $250,000 study specifically directed to finding the necessary routes for a greater loop around our two communities. It should be noted that this study requires no additional revenue from taxpayers. Until the study is complete in 12 to 18 months, we won't really know where the optimal route would be and if this loop's primary purpose will initially be as a freight reliever route to loops 250 and 338. However, there is no doubt that this loop will spur further economic development in our region. Eventually, such a loop would connect to the future I-14 and I-27 corridors currently being discussed at the federal level to further connect Midland to Odessa to the wider world. It is my hope that this study is the first step in a grander strategy between our two communities to our mutual benefit. It is also my desire that in writing this op-ed, others will be inspired to reach out and become involved in how they might further this dream for greater connection between our communities. The most important step we can take as a unified community is not the first step, but always the next step. Jack Ladd is a Midland City Councilman and a partner with the Morales Law Firm. It's time for Congress to step up for rural businesses, communities. By Jonathan Hladek. Small businesses continue to feel the effects of the coronavirus pandemic. While they are doing their best to keep the doors open, they are hurting. This is especially true in our rural towns. Congress has acted to provide businesses with loans through the Small Business Administration, 6 months of payment forgiveness. This is a lifeline for big city enterprises, but it doesn't help rural entrepreneurs. That is because many rural businesses do not have access to an SBA lender and must borrow from a USDA rural development program instead. On August 6th, a bipartisan measure, the Rural Equal Aid, REA, Act, was introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives by Representative Cindy Axne, A-X-N-E, D-I-A. The legislation would provide 6 months of principal, interest, and payment fee forgiveness to businesses with loans through the Rural Micro Entrepreneur Assistance Program, RMAP, and the Intermediary Relending Program, as well as loans made to public and nonprofit organizations for community facilities and to businesses, cooperatives, and nonprofits expanding in rural areas. This is identical to the provisions that have been available to SBA lendees as part of the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, CARES Act, since March. Senator John Tester, D. Montana, is leading the bipartisan effort for the Senate companion bill, having representatives and senators from both sides of the aisle supporting the REA is vital. We urge the remaining members of Congress to follow their lead. It's time to treat rural businesses equally by including the REA in upcoming stimulus legislation. Rural America can't wait any longer. Jonathan Hladek is Policy Director for the Center for Rural Affairs.
MCH receives Quality Achievement Award. AHA Award recognizes Medical Center Hospital's commitment to quality heart failure care. Medical Center Hospital has received the American Heart Association's Get With The Guidelines Heart Failure Gold Plus Quality Achievement Award. The award recognizes the hospital's commitment to ensuring heart failure patients receive the most appropriate treatment according to nationally recognized research-based guidelines founded in the latest scientific evidence. The goal is quick recovery and reducing hospital readmissions for heart failure patients. MCH earned the award by meeting the specific quality achievement measures for the diagnosis and treatment of heart failure patients at a set level for a designated period. These measures include evaluation of the proper use of medications and aggressive risk reduction therapies. Before discharge, patients should also receive education on managing their heart failure and overall health, get a follow-up visit scheduled, as well as other care transition interventions. Medical Center Hospital is dedicated to improving quality of care for our patients with heart failure by implementing the American Heart Association's Get With The Guidelines Heart Failure Initiative. Renee Rodriguez, MCH Divisional Director of the Center for Heart Disease and Diabetes Center, said, "The tools and resources provided us help us track and measure our success in meeting evidence-based clinical guidelines developed to improve patient outcomes. We are pleased to recognize Medical Center Hospital for their commitment to heart failure care." Lee H. Schwamm, MD, National Chairperson of the Quality Oversight Committee and Executive Vice Chair of Neurology, Director of Acute Stroke Services, Massachusetts General Hospital, Boston, Massachusetts, said, "Research has shown that hospitals adhering to clinical measures through the Get With The Guidelines Quality Improvement Initiative can often see fewer readmissions and lower mortality rates." According to the American Heart Association, more than 6.5 million adults in the United States are living with heart failure. Many heart failure patients can lead a full, enjoyable life when their condition is managed with proper medications or devices and with healthy lifestyle changes. Get with the guidelines is the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association's hospital-based quality improvement program that provides hospitals with tools and resources to increase adherence to the latest research-based guidelines. Developed with the goal of saving lives and hastening recovery, Get With The Guidelines has touched the lives of more than 6 million patients since 2001. For more information, visit heart.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, August 23, 2020. Kids face their fears as year begins at new school. Melanie Nicholas. Starting back to school in a pandemic has proven to be just as difficult as I suspected it would be. Sticking to a bedtime is hard. Getting up on time is even harder. None of us wants this school year to be the weirdness that it is starting out to be. This is your reminder to be gentle with yourselves and those precious kiddos. They're exhausted and detoxing from 6 months of Minecraft and YouTube. They forgot what shoes felt like. We forgot what bras and pants felt like. But we persevere. We have to. Every day, I make breakfast and coffee, fix snacks, and fill water bottles. I run through the list of everything that needs to be in bags and on bodies, making sure that everyone has face masks and hand sanitizer. I have been trying to establish a daily routine to help alleviate some of my son's anxiety about a pandemic school year. I know a lot of children are nervous about the first day of school, but first days are especially hard when you don't know anyone and you're an introvert. All the things that will help ensure his health and safety, masks and social distancing and single desks, will not help him easily assimilate at his new school. Unlike his little sister, who is pretty sure that everyone in the room wants to be her bestie, he is not the guy who will walk up to a group of kids and ask to hang out with them. Instead, he is the kid who will sit by himself and then read through recess, getting lost in a book filled with wise dragon friends or cheering on Katniss and Peeta as they try to survive the Hunger Games. In my extroverted pragmatist way, I have tried to explain that setting himself apart keeps him apart, but he just cannot help it. During our car ride, he tells me he wishes he had picked the virtual option for school. I tell him again that I think in-person school with smaller classes is the best option for us, and one of the reasons we chose private school this year. I wish he could stay home, but frankly, he has surpassed me in math and I can't help him anymore. Did y'all know it took me 4 times to pass college algebra? And just between us, I think I might have gotten a pity C so I wouldn't darken the doors there any longer. He is taking Algebra 1 this year, and I do not want to impede his giftedness. I try to say all the right things, like how very proud I am of him, that I know this is so very hard. I tell him to take comfort in the fact that everyone is off their game this year because of the pandemic. No one, not even the adults, know exactly what is going on. He just needs to be brave, move forward, and trust that we are as prepared as we can be. We have masks and sanitizer, hand wipes and tissues. We have practiced backing up when people get too close. We have also practiced saying, "I don't share drinks." We have new haircuts, glasses, and clothes. I have done everything I know how to do to set him up for success. But now, we are in the drop-off line, and it is almost time to make our awkward leap from the car. We say a quick prayer. I remind him that God is with him today. Then I unlock the doors and hold my breath as he gives me a last panicked look over his shoulder. His little sister rolls down her window and yells, "Fake it until you make it!" Unhelpfully. It takes him 3 days to say hello to any of his classmates. He is noticing that academically he is ahead. I am noticing that socially he is still behind. But sooner or later, these kids will get to know him and appreciate his quick wit and kind heart. He will help them with their classwork when they ask him. They will learn that he is steady and dependable and slow to anger. They will see him for the amazing kid that he is. But in Mama Heart time, it will feel like forever. In 12-year-old time, it probably feels even longer. His sister, too, was harder to settle this week than I thought she would be. The pandemic has been hard on extroverts as well. She has gone from being home with her brother and me most of the time to a whole classroom full of personalities. She's gotten used to quiet time, lazy mornings, and absolutely no routine. When I tell you that we have been bathing in the pool and behaving like feral animals living under a house for months, I am not exaggerating. Bodacious loves to dance, and I signed her up for hip-hop dance class again, but added contemporary dance, too. I thought she would be drawn to its flowy skirts and exaggerated moodiness. But I didn't get her class uniform list until last weekend. Amazon Prime let me down and failed to deliver her tan footless tights, dance slippers, and black dance shorts. I explained to her that she would need to dress out as best she could, black running shorts and a pair of socks. She looked at me for a solid 15 seconds, then her face turned purple and caved in on itself. Then she began to weep and shake. Not a fit-throwing crying jag, mind you, but a total, I cannot do one more new thing and my soul is close to breaking. Which she never ever does. I started to giggle, not at her, but at the ridiculousness of a breakdown over dance shoes. But then I caught myself. I realized she was having a straw that breaks the camel's back moment. She was tired and nervous and afraid. She didn't want to not have the right clothes. She didn't want to be unprepared in a completely new environment with a bunch of girls she did not know. Laughing at the situation would feel like laughing at her, belittling her emotions, belittling her. I don't want to do that to her. She has such a tender heart. I held her for a few minutes and told her she could make the choice and that I would support whatever decision she made. She could choose to go, wearing the not right clothes, but fully showing up for a new experience, or she could wait until next week, wearing the right clothes, but starting from behind. She took a big, shaky breath and told me she would go to class, but she wanted to wear her new tennis shoes, too. Y'all, at that point, I would have let her wear her Batman mask if she had wanted to. When we got there, she explained to her teacher that she didn't have shoes yet, but they were coming soon. My daughter didn't want to miss this first class more than she was afraid of not fitting in when she got there. That night, lying in bed, she told me she was proud of herself for being brave. Oh, sweet baby girl, I am so proud of both you and your brother for facing your fears. I know this has not been easy. In fact, I am proud of all of us this school year. Students, parents, teachers, and school staff. May we all do our best to navigate these uncertain times with grace, a 12-year-old's resilience, and a 9-year-old's bravery. Melanie Nicholas is a full-time mama and writer. She and the Hubs have 2 children, Parks a Lot, 12, and Bodacious, 9. You can follow her amazing adventures fighting grime and insecurity on Facebook, Instagram, and at www.melanienicholas.com.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, August 26, 2020. This article is entitled Oil Gasoline Futures at Highest Level Since March by Andres Guerra-Loz, Bloomberg. Crude and gasoline futures both climbed to levels not seen since before the pandemic as Hurricane Laura rattled toward a key stretch of the U.S. Gulf Coast that is home to the nation's greatest concentration of refining capacity. U.S. gasoline futures jumped 2.1% and crude futures added 1.7% Tuesday, bringing both contracts to the highest since early March. The storm is expected to make landfall late today or early Thursday along the Texas-Louisiana coast as a Category 3 hurricane, according to the National Hurricane Center. More than 84% of oil output in the Gulf of Mexico has now shut, and refiners, including ExxonMobil Corporation and Citgo Petroleum Corporation, have reduced operations or closed plants in preparation. The energy patch is facing a potentially cataclysmic situation in the next 48 hours, in part as forecasts show the storm on a collision course with some of the largest refineries in the world. Bob Yauger, director of the Futures Division at Mizuho Securities USA, said in a note. The spread between the September and October gasoline contracts rose to as high as 15 cents per gallon during the session, the widest backwardization in a year. The price action implies the market is worried about extreme shortage, Yager wrote. Some of the largest U.S. refineries are shutting in advance of Laura, affecting nearly 3 million barrels a day of capacity along the U.S. Gulf Coast, according to a Bloomberg calculation. That's about one-third of the Gulf Coast refining capacity, according to figures from Lipow Oil Associates. Still, the hurricane will likely only have a short-term impact on prices, with this year's lackluster summer driving season nearing an end, and a pickup in consumption remaining questionable due to the coronavirus pandemic. Even if the resumption of offshore production were to be slow, increasing the loss of supply, there is a large inventory buffer that precludes a sudden tightening of crude oil availability to refiners when they resume their operations, said Harry Chilogwirian, head of commodity market strategy at BNP Paribas SA in London. U.S. crude stockpiles are currently at the highest seasonal level in decades, according to Energy Information Administration data. The industry-funded American Petroleum Institute will release inventory numbers later Tuesday ahead of the EIA's report. Meanwhile, cash market gasoline for Colonial Pipeline loading outside Houston rose on Tuesday morning to the highest in 11 months as retailers sought to secure supplies ahead of Laura.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the education section of the Midland MRT for Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. UT Regents create new college at UTPB, from staff reports. The University of Texas System Board of Regents has created a new college at the University of Texas Permian Basin, the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance, according to a press release from UTPB. The college will house School of Nursing, Department of Kinesiology, Department of Athletic Training, Department of Social Work, Department of Community and Family Health, and Simulation and Learning Resource Center and Clinical Labs. This innovative reorganization will leverage multidisciplinary faculty, talent, and student experiences to elevate our work and maximize the assets in our wonderful new state-of-the-art facility, said UT Permian Basin President Sandra Woodley in the release. It is really exciting to modernize our approach to community health in a way that targets the needs of our region. Donna Buick, the current Dean of Nursing, will now be Dean of the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance. Buick said this new alignment allows students to learn and work across several disciplines. It is very exciting to see students and faculty from each of these academic programs come together and start envisioning what we can do moving forward. This is just the beginning. Our faculty will have more research opportunities, our students will have additional educational resources, and our community as a whole will benefit as well. With the transition, students will learn how different healthcare fields work together in real-world settings. The college will be primarily housed in the new D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center that has several state-of-the-art labs. The School of Nursing and the Simulation and Resource Center will remain in the Mesa Building. Midland College Profiles by Rebecca Bell. Hospital Manager applies skills learned at MC. 16 years ago, I traded in my calculator and desk chair for a pair of scrubs and comfortable shoes in order to begin my new career as a radiological technologist, Jennifer Greer said. Now I'm back to a desk, but I still get to practice my radiology skills. I have the best of both worlds. Greer is radiology operations manager at Midland Memorial Hospital. As such, she oversees all inpatient, emergency room, and some outpatient radiology services. She is responsible for ensuring accurate billing information, managing the department budget, staffing, and quality control. I'd like to say that my job is to manage the best experience for our patients, Greer said. That includes providing a safe environment so that MMH can have the best hospital and community radiological services. I also very much value the relationship with my team. I'm happy to help with ultrasound and CT scans whenever the need arises. During an ice storm last winter, I found myself helping with portable x-rays. I hadn't done that in a while, but it was fun to be back on the patient floors. I also get to start a lot of IVs for ultrasound. I try to stay out in the mix. It's important for me to know what the radiology techs deal with on a daily basis. Every morning I look over the workflow from the prior night. It's important to know and appreciate the work our team does. I want to make sure they have the tools they need to do their jobs and enjoy being here. The hospital promotes a culture of ownership. I encourage communication and always remind our teams to take ownership of their department. If they have an idea to improve a process, then it's worth every effort to try it. A small test of change to see if the idea is successful. There are no bad ideas. Some work and some don't, but it's the concept that everyone knows they have this opportunity. Greer said she found her calling in radiology late in life. She graduated from Greenwood High School in 1995 and received the Abel Hanger Foundation Scholarship, now called the Legacy Scholarship, to attend Midland College. She enrolled in business courses. I took several business courses, especially accounting, but never completed a degree, Greer said. I guess I lacked focus and didn't have a good plan. As a college student, Greer worked at HEB and eventually went to work in the file room at Wagner & Brown. Even though Greer didn't have a plan for her education, she was a self-starter and a hard worker. She worked her way up to various positions in the accounting department and was employed at Wagner & Brown for 8 years. Greer and her husband Greg were married in 1989. They have two daughters, Briley and Jolie. I loved working for Wagner & Brown, but I wanted to get away from the booms and busts of the oil and gas industry. As I started thinking about careers in the medical profession, Greer said, at that time, Midland College had a radiology technology program. I applied and was accepted. I guess the rest is history. She graduated from Midland College in 2004 with an Associate of Applied Science degree in Radiology Technology. She passed the state licensure exam and started her radiology career at Midland Memorial Hospital. MMH promoted Jennifer Greer to her current position at Radiology Operations Manager in 2016, with the caveat that she would go back to school to earn a bachelor's degree. So she registered for classes once again at Midland College, this time in the college's Organizational Management Bachelor Degree Program. She graduated from MC in May 2019 with a Bachelor of Applied Technology degree. I highly recommend the Organizational Management Program to anyone who has an associate degree and wants to advance to a management-level position. I took a combination of online and face-to-face classes. The instructors were very helpful and knowledgeable, and all had career experiences that they shared during class discussions. I've applied a lot of what I learned to my current job, especially in the area of critical thinking and problem solving. A big part of my job is solving problems, and I like finding solutions to problems, even if they are little problems. Greer is especially proud of the fact that all technologists in MMH's radiology department are cross-trained. All techs are licensed and all have passed individual registry sections of the American College of Radiology, meaning they can work in all diagnostic imaging areas, CT scan, MRI, interventional radiography, ultrasound, and mammography. Greer said that not all hospitals have staff who are registered in all areas. MMH expects continual lifelong learning, Greer said. We also believe in growing your own people. I think that's one reason why I was given the chance to advance in my career. My supervisors encouraged professional growth. Radiography techs are the link between the patient and the radiologist. It is rare for a radiologist to see a patient, so it's up to the techs to give accurate information to the radiologist. We are the patient's advocate. Radiology touches every patient at some point. We are part of the diagnostic team, and I am committed to doing what is necessary in order for everyone on the team to be proud of the job we do.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Chronic back pain. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 70-year-old man with chronic back pain. I first started having serious back pain in college after spending much of my time hunched over a drawing board. Later, as an architect, my back pain recurred frequently. About 20 years ago, after having terrible sciatica in my left leg, I had a surgical procedure done called a laminectomy, which successfully relieved my back pain for many years. Now I have developed pretty serious arthritis in my lower back, and I am in pain constantly. I can no longer lie flat in bed to sleep. I started having to sleep in my recliner, which helped, and then I bought an adjustable bed, which was also helpful. I have had to rely on taking large doses of Percocet to manage my pain. Since I also have heart flutter issues, I cannot take any anti-inflammatory meds. I am having trouble getting opioids prescribed, but they seem to be the only things that help me. Walking and back stretching only cause more pain. Recently, my back surgeon suggested that spinal fusion might help me. What do you advise? DAP. Answer. The sciatic nerve is a surprisingly large structure, roughly the size of one's little finger. It exits the back and provides the nerve supply to the lower leg. When it is pressed on by a herniated disc or by bony material in people with arthritis, it usually causes pain, and with more severe compression, numbness, and weakness. Medications, physical therapy, and surgery are possible options. I consider referring patients to a back surgeon when their pain is bad enough to affect daily activities and when they are unable to get relief or require large doses of opiates. The surgeon evaluates the anatomy and provides an opinion, but the ultimate choice is the patient's.
Father-in-law expects future grandchildren to be Catholic. Dear Abby for Friday. Dear Abby, my husband and I are trying to have children. He was raised Catholic, but is now agnostic. I am also agnostic. My deeply religious father-in-law insists that our four children be baptized Catholic. I am against it because I think it should be a person's right to choose which faith, if any, to follow when they are ready. I also think it would be hypocritical to go through a baptismal ceremony with godparents and vows to raise our child a certain way when we have no intention of doing it. My husband thinks it would be best to baptize our future children to keep the peace, because his father will never forgive us if we don't. I think it's our children, our lives, our ethics. Which of us is right? Out in the open. Dear Out, you are, but I don't envy what's ahead for you. If you knuckle under your father-in-law, it won't stop. You will be expected to follow through with a Catholic upbringing, First Communion, Catholic schools, church attendance for the children, and everything that comes with it. You and your husband should bite the bullet, be up front with his dad before you become pregnant, and make plain how you plan to raise your children. If you aren't, raising them in a way you don't want could put a strain on your marriage. This should be your and your husband's decision to make and no one else's, and I don't recommend deviating from it. Dear Abby, I have been married for 4 years, and all this time we have lived in separate houses. Now my husband is finally moving in with me. While I'm excited, and it's going to be a significant financial benefit for both of us, I'm experiencing mixed emotions and a lot of anxiety about it. He's an awesome man who treats me great. This is a second marriage for both of us. Any advice would be appreciated. Making the leap in Florida. Dear Making, under the circumstances, your feelings are normal. This will be a big change for both of you. That is why it's important to talk about your feelings and expectations in advance, which might ease your stress. Being able to communicate honestly with each other is extremely important and will serve you well in the future. With this move, you are opening up a new chapter in your lives, and I wish you many years of happiness together. Dear Abby, 5 years ago, when my wife and I were 35 years old, she agreed to be on a team with me and compete in some adventure races. It was great fun, We had team T-shirts, trained together, and were excited about our results. It brought us closer and created a real sense of camaraderie, adventure, and mutual support into our marriage. During one race, a bull broke into the race grounds and chased us. Shortly thereafter, my wife quit the team, and sadly, many of the ancillary benefits declined as well. She will no longer be on a team with me. What should I do? Benched in Georgia. Dear Benched, because this is an activity you enjoy, you should keep going. Because your wife has chosen to retire from adventure racing, you should recruit another partner or find some other activity you both could enjoy together. And that's no bull.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Virgo and a moon in Capricorn. Happy birthday for Friday, August 28, 2020. Convincing, articulate, and a master of language, you persuade others of the brilliance of your projects and make this year an extremely successful one. You must compromise at the year's beginning, but you'll get what you want. If single, a deeper understanding of your needs finds you a mate mid-year. If attached, passion rules and your bond deepens, but listen more to your partner hinting about difficulty. Aquarius seems easygoing, but is not. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Prepare for some heavy competition today. Direct energy constructively and keep trying. Your professional aspirations are very important. Pursue that which nurtures your creative needs while weighing financial considerations. Tonight, what a day. You take the whole night off, deservedly. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Much can be accomplished because your energy level will be high, but do quell impatience. It's especially easy to overreact today. Consider consequences and options first. Friday is your lucky day each week. Make purchases and decisions then to enhance success. Tonight, Friday night too. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Encourage a discussion of dreams over breakfast. Dream analysis might provide insight concerning the needs of those closest to you. Today brings upbeat financial news. An inheritance, investment, or settlement is involved. Tonight, read over the fine print and in between the lines. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 2 stars. A deeper understanding of what you need as well as what you could offer a companion develops today. If a relationship isn't working, face up to the facts and perform a ritual of release. You will be doubly blessed. Tonight, the sadness comes. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Focus on your health today. Release stress and prepare wholesome meals. There is so much going on that you can feel uncharacteristically overwhelmed. You will have a new awareness of how others impact your life. A sense of changing times ahead prevails. Tonight, well-being journal. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. New places and acquaintances usher in a very happy day. You'll be appreciated. Take note of imaginative ideas that come spontaneously now. One will be a real gem. You have new talents emerging. Tonight, celebrate yourself as only a Virgo knows how. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. A relative or household member might announce some unexpected plans. Be understanding and supportive. Today accents security issues. Balancing old monetary obligations with current expenses requires humor and tolerance. Tonight, dine as friends. You need more time for a balanced reaction. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. A sibling or neighbor is changing. Don't be in denial when obvious signs are being sent. Transportation needs are being considered, and information exchange is very important. Be alert and stay well informed, and all will be well. Tonight, catch up with your oldest friend and laugh. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Examine habits regarding money management. Figure out what hasn't been working and don't repeat the pattern. Today is wonderful for reviewing insurance coverage, investments, and your general budget. Be alert. Follow through with a promising opportunity. Tonight, read Forbes or research. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Reputation is a sensitive issue. Cultivate your image. Try a new hairstyle or wardrobe item. Make travel plans. Your ideas impact others. One of the best cycles for romance, creativity, and overall better change is about to begin. Tonight, you actually feel it about to begin. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 5 stars. Quietly performing anonymous acts of kindness brings you a deep happiness, and you might unknowingly befriend an angel in disguise today. Prepare to take on a new project or to make a journey. Tonight, you wonder about this angel in disguise. You reach out. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Answers to security-related problems come from a neighbor or loved one. You'll feel much more confident. It's a great day to seek advice and to network. You're more visible to influential professional contacts. Tonight, a safe night out on the town. Born today, writer Johann von Goethe, 1749, poet Rita Dove, 1952, comedian Jack Black, 1969.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.